Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Brother Parker.
Hey, Brother Parker.
Brother Williams.
Brother Williams.
Brother Williams is here. How you doing this evening, my brother?
Okay. All right, this is Brother Brown. I apologize, I'm late. I'm getting off work. Is Brother Park on?
Haven't heard any voice but yours thus far.
Brother Johnson, right
here. Guys are online.
Okay, let me see if I get Brother Park online.
All right.
Hey, Brian, you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
We're going in on the show. Okay, all right. Thank you, Brian. Brother Brown. Who else is on? Brother Williams, you on?
Yeah, this is Brother Lee Williams.
Okay.
Church of Christ, Paul Edition.
Brother Johnson, you on?
He's
right
probably on.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm Brother Lewis Parker IV from the Darien Luke Church of Christ, which is so blessed to have this internet broadcast brought to you by and sponsored by the Darien Luke Church of Christ, located at 7014 Darien Street, Houston, Texas, 77028, phone number 713-633-0538. I am the ministering evangelist of that congregation. I'm Brother Lewis Parker IV. We are program on Tuesday night from 7:30 to 8:30, as well as Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30. On tonight, we have with us Brother Williams and Brother Johnson, both from the Wharton area, and they are magnificent Gospel Church of Christ preachers in that area. In a few minutes, I'm going to lose them and let them go, and Brother Johnson and Brother Williams will have the opportunity to do what they've been doing so eloquently for the past few weeks, and that's to preach Christ and Christ crucified. We're just so blessed to be able to extend this internet broadcast to our listening audience. And we want our listening audience to know that you are our honored guest, and we're just blessed to have you. And feel free, if you have any questions, especially on Thursday night. Thursday night we have set aside a four-hour question and answer period. But most certainly if you find yourself having a question, even on Tuesday night, press 1, and then Brother Brown, the administrator, he'll get to you, and we can answer questions that you have on tonight. Brother Parker Jr., who's the host for this program, and he's also been preaching for some 59 years, and he's at the Darien Luke Church of Christ as well. He's usually the host, and he should be calling in here shortly. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Johnson or Brother Williams, who whichever one of them decides to go first, and we'll just loose them and let them go. Amen.
Yeah, Brother Johnson, you go ahead and start it out, my brother.
All right. Tonight's lesson is going to be on, have you been risen with Christ?
All right.
I'm coming from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 1 and following. It says, if then, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. The question I want to know tonight, have you been risen with Christ?
Amen.
You see, a lot of folk say they've been baptized,
mm-hmm.
but their lives tell me different the way I look at them sometimes. They
all
don't
right.
have the knowledge of God like they should, or they're not studying the Word of God, or they're not being taught by anybody. And then a lot of people are playing with God, playing Christianity, still living the same way before they come to Christ.
All right.
Most folks need to search themselves with the Word of God and see how they've been risen. Because Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 1, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For so many of us were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also walk in the newness of life. My question tonight, have you been raised from the spiritual dead?
All right.
There's a lot of
Amen.
Folks have not been raised from the dead.
Amen.
Or they went in the water and showed the emotion part, but
Amen.
haven't submit themselves to Christ.
Yes.
Because the Apostle Paul still talking in the same passage of Scripture, and he tell you what to mortify. He said in verse 5, in the same scripture of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate, affection, evil conception, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake that the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
In which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. He said in verse 8, he said, but now ye also have put off these things.
Yes.
Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and communication out of your mouth. The Apostle Paul talking to us that have obeyed the gospel of Christ. The world can see us for what we are, but do we see what we are doing? We say we live
mm-hmm.
in Jesus, but yet we're still practicing sin.
Hmm.
We need to make up our minds and see what we're really going to do. Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to serve the devil?
Yeah.
You cannot serve two masters, according
Amen.
To Matthew 6:19-24. You either love one or hate the other. So you see, my Bible tells me how I should live. You see, over in the book of Peter, I want you to turn over there with me, in 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to start at verse 3. Listen to what he says here. He says, according as the divine power has given unto us all things that pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligently, add to your faith virtue and knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and bound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, he said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot
mm-hmm.
see far off, and has
Amen.
Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, that's why we got to put the brethren in remembrance of these things, because a
mm-hmm.
lot of times they forget where they come from. They forget what they have done, and they don't recognize it. So as gospel preachers, elders in the church, or leaders in the church, we have to bring our brethren back to this. Drop down to verse 12 and 13 in the same passage here. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, he said, wherefore, I will not be neglected to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye knew them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meant as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He said, putting you in remembrance. We always have to bring the church back to the remembrance of these things and make sure that they have a proper understanding of what they're doing.
Amen.
We, as members of the Church of Christ, do not want to see nobody lost. We
yes.
want to see people
Amen.
Get saved and stay in Christ.
Yes.
Because if you lose your soul, brethren, now listen up. If you lose your soul, you have had it.
Yes.
There's no way of getting around that, brethren. We might as well face it the way it is.
Amen.
A lot of brethren don't want to hear the truth or want to accept the truth. But let me tell you something, brethren. You better accept God's word while you're living.
Man.
If you die in your sin, you can't go where Jesus at.
That's
I want
right.
to use another passage of scripture to enlighten you a little bit. I want to go to Romans, the 13th chapter,
mm-hmm.
for just a second here. And I want to start at verse 11. And the Bible says, and that she knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the days is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, and not rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wanting, not in strife or in envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
To fulfill
Amen.
The lust thereof.
Yes.
We have to warn you with the scriptures.
Yes.
Every
Amen.
Time a gospel preacher or elders in the church ought to be able to warn the church to keep them safe. See, the elders are leaders of the flock, of God's flock. And he
yes.
needs to be an example, according to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4. And if he's not an example, then he can't do anything. But as we
mm-hmm.
are members of the Church of Christ, we have the Scripture. All we got to do is follow the Scripture and live
Praise
the
Lord.
Scripture tells us to live. Each day is important to God for us to live righteous and holy lives before him.
Mm-hmm.
In Galatians 3 and 27, the Apostle Paul said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18 through 20, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. See, Jesus told us to teach them the first time, that's to get them in, and then
yes.
go back and teach them the second time. Keep
Amen.
Teaching, like the apostles did in the first century. They taught the people. They taught the people in the temple. They kept
That's right.
teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. We have to do the same thing today. And
Amen.
Every generation that the church stay established, we have to keep on teaching the people. We can't let
yes.
them get away from us. And we
Amen.
Can't let them get away from God's word. God's word
Amen.
Says it. That's what a preacher ought to do. The
yes.
Bible tells me that a gospel preacher is supposed to study. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible
mm-hmm.
tells me, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not shamefully, rightly divide the word of truth. You see,
Amen.
If we don't study, how can we teach somebody else?
Amen.
You see, we got to study so we can teach our brethren and
mm-hmm.
our fellow man. We got to teach
Amen.
In Christ. We got to teach on the outside of Christ. But we must be faithful to God's word. Church of Christ, wake up. Be sincere with God. God is able to do what he says. You see, God said in his word, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, begin at verse 1, he said, I charge thee therefore before God, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but having thick ears turning unto fable. We got brothers in the church doing, we got people on the outside definitely don't know what they're talking about.
Amen.
And we know we're supposed to preach the gospel, and yet we won't do it. We'll do it
Amen.
And we're playing with it. God do not respect that kind of foolishness with his word. Either you're going to do what God say, or you're not going to do what he say.
Say that.
You ain't got but one choice at this lifestyle, and that's to do what God say.
Yeah.
Brethren, we might as well take a stand and stand up.
That's right.
Yes,
don't
right.
be fooling around and fighting around with the word of God. It's telling you just the way it is.
Amen.
God loved us enough to give us a book to follow. There's enough instruction in the word of God to follow.
Amen.
You can read this Bible a lifetime and still won't learn enough.
Won't learn it all.
Amen.
You, you can read it a lifetime. I'm going to say it again. But you will never learn it all.
Amen.
Day by day by day by day.
Yes.
Step by step.
Amen.
Just keep on studying the word of God. Don't give up because people talk about you and you're standing up for something that is right. Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Verses 10 through 18. Be faithful to the Lord.
Yes.
Be as faithful as you can. Well, let me give you a clue here, brethren. Stand when you can't stand. Stand anyway.
Amen.
Just stand. God's word is right. It holds the key to all our future if we want to go to heaven.
Amen.
If you don't want to go to heaven, I advise you don't mess with God's word.
Amen.
You're better off if you didn't never pick it up. And once you learn it, and then you go back to doing the same thing you was already doing. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20-22. Why go back into the old Saul way? Back into
Amen.
The filth. Ain't nothing but sin. That's all it's talking about. God
Amen.
Is not going to put up with it, brethren. God
Amen.
Is tired of it. We think God ain't looking, but God looking direct at your head.
Say that.
He's looking at everything we do. Let me show you an example, brethren. Let me show you a good example of what I'm talking about. I want you to I want you to follow me on this one. I'm going to Ephesians for just a minute.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to use it for just an illustration here. God said something that got my attention, and I always think about it. He says, speak to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart.
Yes,
to the Lord.
Yes.
He didn't say nothing about a piano. He didn't say nothing about an organ. He didn't say nothing
Amen.
About playing. He didn't say nothing about getting a quartet.
Amen.
He told the church right there to sing, S-I-N-G.
Amen.
S-I-N-G. He said, sing. We got to sing like God told us to do. We
Amen.
Got folks today want to harm and jump and skip and play all kind of things, Brother William.
Come on.
But the Bible said sting.
Amen.
God did not authorize that jump in the New Testament. We are the instruments of God, and God will listen to what we say. If we all supposed to sing, we all supposed to sing at the same time.
Amen.
I get up there and I sing, and then you get up there and you sing, or we got a choir, or we got a microphone. It doesn't say all of that. God said sing.
Amen.
That's what he said to do. You see, that's our biggest problem, brother. We're always trying to find a scapegoat and try to excuse what God has already said to do.
Amen.
In Colossians 3 and verse 16, and verse 17, rather, he says, let's read over the verses. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
All wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in
songs
and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yes,
singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And whatsoever ye do, do all in the deed, and do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is God and the Father by him. God told us what to do. The rules is in the book.
Amen.
God's
yes,
revelation
sir.
Opened up wide for all men to see. Don't tell me that we sing this way and we sing that way, we do this and we do that.
Yes.
In Psalm 150 and verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I want to know if your piano have breath. I want to know do an organ have breath.
Amen.
I want to know do a guitar or a guitar have breath. The answer is no. God said sing, and that's what he meant. See, we try to get around the Word of God. We try to get away from the Word of God, Brother William. But my Bible tells me to sing, and that sells it with me.
Amen.
Parker, when we don't do what God says, we're going to mess the thing up.
Amen.
We're going to mess it up every time.
Yes,
let's sing.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, sing. Hebrews 13:15, he's offered with the lips and sing. He
didn't
to play nothing. James chapter 5, verse 13, he said, sing.
Amen.
Let him sing praises.
And then he said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he said, offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Amen.
What
That's
is
it.
Spiritual? Something you can't see with the physical eye, but God can see it. God knows your heart, brethren. Don't think you're going to get away with it, because God's going to judge us by what we teach and what we preach, so we better preach the word and be faithful to our God.
Amen.
That's what God tells us what to do, brethren. We ain't got no business adding or subtracting from the word of God.
Amen.
God said it. That settles it, Brother Parker.
Brother Brown,
Brother William, and any brothers who listen on the radio. God said it, not man. Man got nothing to do but study the book and preach the gospel.
Jesus said
in Mark 16:15-16, he said unto them, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Otherwise, he's going to hell. We got
to
preach what the Bible say. The Bible tells me in Numbers 32 and 23, your sins will surely find you out.
Yes.
Keep on messing with God. You're going to end up in hell, brethren.
Watch out.
The word, whether people want to hear it or not.
Amen.
Listen, in season and out of season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
You got to tell the world what God has said. You see,
amen.
What the world trying to do is say, well, all of the churches and things belong to the Lord. No, it don't.
No, that's not the Bible.
All those churches belong to the Lord. It ain't but one church belongs to the Lord. That's what's written in this book. The Church of Christ is in the book.
Yes,
and
it
men
is.
Trying to get around the Church of Christ. But let me tell you something, brethren. We better go back to the book and find out what God says.
Amen.
You know, if we move around here and listen to man, I'm going to tell you something. And I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I'm telling you the way it is. We're going to end up in hell. We're going to end up in hell, Brother Parker, because we know better.
Yes.
You told
yes.
me
yes.
a couple of weeks ago you've been preaching 65 years. Keep on preaching till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Don't worry about your folk faith. See, we worry about what folk think, we'll never get where we're going.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, the Bible done told us what to do, and we still arguing with God. Well, I think we ought to do it. No, I don't think we ought to do nothing but do what God tell us. You see, here's another point I want to bring out to your mind. In John 6 and 45,
yeah.
John 6 and 45, he said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. And
yes.
every man, therefore, has heard and has learned of the Father that cometh unto me. All
yes.
men have heard the word of God. But all men
yes.
have not saved. You see, people try to take scriptures all out of context, Brother William, and know
yes.
better. You see, in Romans the 10th chapter, they try to run in Romans 10:13, whosoever call upon
yeah.
the name of the Lord shall be saved. But
yeah.
they don't read verse 14, 15, and 16, 17. Don't read them verses because he said, how can they call upon him whom they have not believed?
Amen. That's it.
How can they call upon him they have not had a preacher to tell them what to do? A gospel
they
preacher.
Amen.
And verse 17 said, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear what God got to say. Not
yes.
what man got to say. I care less about what man got to say.
Amen.
I want to hear what God got to say. That's who
Amen.
We're serving, brother. We
yes,
serve
sir.
A living God, a
Amen.
True and living God. Don't let nobody tell you you're serving a fake God or a false God, or you got to
mm-hmm.
go to Buddhism and all of other false religions. False religions.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We got to go to the book.
Amen.
God gave us a book. And Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Yeah,
and
amen.
Psalm 68 and verse 11, the Lord gave the word and graced those that come in, published it. God
yeah,
gave
amen.
The word.
Yes,
not
Lord.
Man,
that's
man
it.
Or anybody write his name half the time straight. But yet he's going to say, he got some sense. Man ain't got enough sense if you don't do what God
Amen.
Says. You want to be educated, go to God. God educates
yes.
you so much that you think you got something, you got nothing. God will educate you, brethren. Each one of
yes,
us can
Lord.
Get our best education right here from the word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Just follow the plan. I'm getting ready to turn it over to you, Brother William. Let's hear what you got to say.
Thank you, Brother Johnson, for
Amen.
That phenomenal and that informative discussion. You covered a lot of things.
Amen.
I want to
yes,
start and go, and I want to start with the same idea. We need to set our affection on things above. What do you mean, your affection? That's your devotion, your desire,
Amen.
What you want. And what you are striving for, you need to
Amen.
Make it about Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus was teaching those disciples on the mountain. And he concluded in the end of that chapter 6 in talking to them, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
You see, if you're gonna set your affection on the things above, that's the things of heaven, the things of God, you got to seek after those things. See, people are not trying to seek after those things when they come up with these stuff about where we all serving the same God, and you can go to heaven your way, and I can go to heaven my way. And then they come up with all this stuff about, well, we got to be concerned
about, you know, my life. You know, I don't see where God is blessing my life. You need to trust God completely. You can't have, as Brother Johnson mentioned before, you can't play with God, and you can't fool God. God is judging the heart of every man.
Amen.
You can fool me because you can pretend, you can play act, you can do just like they do in Hollywood. You can act and act out something and act it out to perfection. But if it ain't really you, you're fooling me,
Amen.
But you're not fooling God. We have to be genuine in our hearts, brethren, about our affection to God, and it's got to be about Christ. Brother Johnson, you mentioned earlier about all the, some of the things that are beginning to creep up and to pop up and be taking place in the work and worship of the Lord. We got brothers that are not sowing the seed of the gospel. They're sowing seeds of discord. They're sowing seeds of selfishness. They're sowing seeds of hypocrisy. They're sowing seeds of lies. They are lying hypocrites. And we have to be careful about that, because Paul warned the ministers when he talked to Timothy. He said that you have false teachers who are speaking lies in hypocrisy. They teach lies in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. They're teaching lies, and they're hypocritical about it too. They saying stuff, and they know it ain't right. They doing things, and they know it's not right. We must seek to please God first and foremost. When we do that, we can eliminate a whole bunch of foolishness that's going on in the church and in the world. We'll stop folk from coming up in our face and talking all kind of foolish and crazy stuff and expecting us to fall down and lay down and go for that stuff. See, when you stay with the Word of God, you're going to drive the devil away. Satan can't stand the Word of God. He can't stand the truth. If you just stay with the truth, he's not going to fool with you very long. He's going to get on out of there, because he's going to find out that you're not a fool. And if you're not a fool, you're not to be fooled with. But what people do, we want to listen to Satan. Well, you know, we got these guys talking about minister of music, and I'm a minister of music and all that. You know, well, first of all, there's no minister of music or office or ministry mentioned in the Bible, okay? But all of a sudden, I'm a minister of music. Okay, first they get you to fall for that foolishness. Then they want to say, well, if I'm a minister, I need to get paid. Just like the preacher is a minister, I'm a minister too. I need a check. You know, all of that stuff Paul talks about when he talked about the fact that there are those that they are interested in satisfying their belly. They want to fill their belly. They want money. They want to have an advantage and power over folk, and they want to be paid to serve God. We are supposed to serve God. God never commanded no man to be no minister of music, but he does command everyone to sing in praise and in worship and assembly to him. Our praising, our singing, is to be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Why? Because God is judging the heart. He's not concerned about how eloquent and how beautiful your voice is. He's concerned about the meditation of your heart. Paul said we need to sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding. God is looking at the heart. Man looking at the outward appearance. We're getting to the point now where we're taking singing and worship all out of context. We're trying to sing to please ourselves. And we're supposed to be singing to please God. You know, if you don't have a good singing voice, you can't sing with the group. We got a bunch of group singing stuff. But if you ain't sing good, you can't sing with the group. You can't be off tune and off key singing with the group. Well, if God gave you a frog voice, God expects you to sing and praise him with that frog voice. He says in Hebrews 13 and 15 that we are to praise him with the fruit of our lips. The fruit of your lips is your voice. If your voice ain't a beautiful opera and what we call a great singing voice, that doesn't matter to God.
That only matters to men. And we didn't fool right here. We're trying to separate ourselves in singing in groups. You got four or five folk that's got all the beautiful, melodious voices. They got them a mic in their hand. And then the whole congregation have to follow and kind of listen to what they're singing and try to sing like them. That's not God's commandment for singing. Singing is intended to be something that is engaged in by every member of the assembly. If you're not singing in assembly, you're not worshiping in assembly.
And that,
we never have any authorization to have no choir to sing for us, to sing to us, and to entertain us. We are all to sing to one another and to Christ. And we are to sing for the benefit of one another. We can't, you got instruments of music that's being brought into the worship. And then once somebody say, well, you know what? Where if a brother can make the sound of the piano with his mouth, with his voice? And where if another brother can make the sound of the drum with his voice? And where if another brother can make the sound of the bass guitar with his voice? And so they use their voices and they make these musical sounds of musical instruments. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it? Let me ask you something. The definition of singing, according to Colossians 3 and 16 and Ephesians 5 and 19, is that we speak to one another and that we teach and admonish one another.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm making the sound of a piano, am I teaching? Am I speaking? If I'm making the sound of a bass guitar, am I singing? Am I teaching? Am I preaching? Am I admonishing? Am I talking to my brother or my sister in Christ? See, we have taken the word out of context because we're trying to make something that God didn't say. God said sing. And then he specified Hebrews 13:15, the fruit of your lip. He's talking about your voice. And when he says speak, we are to speak with our voice. We're not to be boom, 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 boom. That's not singing. Well, you're making a sound with your voice, but you're not speaking the word of God. Our spiritual songs speak truth. I will trust in the Lord, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Trust and obey. These are words that speak the truth to our hearts. But you can't say that while you making mechanical sounds out of your voice to sound like a drum or a piano or a guitar. We have all kinds of things that people are bringing into the church as an innovation to improve our singing. The only thing you can improve, the only way you can improve your singing is to open your mouth and to sing with all of your ability in true faith and in sincerity to our God. That's the only way you can improve your singing. We can learn the words better, but we got to sing it, and we got to sing it to God, and we got to respect the fact that we are actually teaching one another. God's word is plain. It's simple. But the problem we have is we got to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. We got fellows that you know, they want to walk around, they want to invite you to Jesus. Our job as ministers and teachers is to point men to Christ. But what we want to do, we're going to put ourselves in the front. I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I'm Dr. this. You know, it's nothing wrong with being a doctor of philosophy, because that's an educational degree you can get in college and you can earn a living with it. But in Christ, a doctor of philosophy doesn't earn you anything. It doesn't mean anything regarding your soul salvation. It's not a office in the church, but we want to use it as a point of emphasis to emphasize ourselves, to give ourselves some prestige, some glory and honor, and we want you to be impressed by us and come to Christ. If Jesus is not the reason, then you're not serving Christ. You are serving men, and men are serving themselves.
That's it.
I'm an engineer, but what does that have to do with my mission, my responsibility as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You don't have to be an engineer to preach the gospel. You don't have to be a doctor of philosophy to preach the gospel. You know, you're not, your philosophy and your wisdom is not greater, nor is it more important than the wisdom of God. As a matter of fact, God's wisdom is so much greater than our wisdom. Our wisdom, man's wisdom, is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. But we got, I just want to emphasize, we have Dr. So-and-so, who is going to conduct a revival this week, and we're inviting everyone to come and hear this great man. They need to come and hear the great gospel, not the great man. Jesus is the great God who wants to save the souls of every man. But we want to seek after Jesus and not after things of this world, things of this life. Seek after Jesus. Too many people can't worship God, can't serve God, can't even live right because they're too busy on their job. They're working so hard to buy new cars and buy big houses and to buy fine clothes and to buy presents to give to everybody they know in their family and to be able to go and take the cruise and do all kind of stuff, but you ain't got time to serve God. You ain't got time to come to worship. Some people talk about their job. My job, you know, I would come to worship, but my job, your job is not going to save your soul.
Amen.
Jesus is the Savior. And God is not going to take no excuses about why you fail to seek to do his will. You fail in your devotion to him. He's not going to take no exception to all of that foolishness and say, well, you know, since you had to work every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time something was going on with the work of the church, you were too busy because you had two jobs and you was working. And so since you had to work, then I'm going to excuse you from not being at the assembly like the other faithful. Jesus is not going to do that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 still says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another all the more, even as you see the day approaching. Listen, we need to be encouraging everybody to come to worship and not make an excuse for not coming to worship. But people are doing that these days. They got this new age and this modern worship. You know, folks are like, well, I can worship God at home. You can't worship in assembly at home. There is no such thing as an assembly of one. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together. I can't worship in assembly by myself. Now listen, worship is about devotion. We worship daily. Every day your life must be an example of devotion to Christ. That's your daily worship. But when God commands assembly for worship, he expects all Christians, all faithful Christians, to be in assembly without excuse. Somebody said, well, I was sick in the hospital. Well, that's not an excuse. You had a legitimate situation. How can you be in the hospital and be in the worship at the same time? We're not worshiping in the hospital. So how can you be in assembly and in the hospital in the bed? That's understandable. We're not talking about things like that. Well, God is not unfair. He's not unreasonable. We're talking about you at your house or you on your job that you can't quit and can't stop working to come and worship. And you at your house and you can't get out of bed because you don't feel good and you don't want to go to worship Sunday morning, or you don't like the preacher that's preaching, or you don't like what they're studying at the church, and you don't want to be a part of that, or you don't like Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so, you can't stand them, so you're not going to go to worship. You don't like what the Bible said, the preacher preaching the truth, but you don't want to hear what the Bible said, so you're just going to skip worship, and you're going to go do something else. You don't listen to a denominational preacher on the radio. All kind of things like this are being done by members of the Lord's church, and when you ask them and question them, Brother Parker and Brother Johnson, they give you all these excuses.
Yep.
I had a headache, so I didn't feel like coming to worship this morning. But Monday morning, that same headache won't stop them from going to work. They'll take two Tylenol, two Advil, two Excedrin, and they'll go right on to work. And they'll take some in their purse and in their pocket. So if they still have a headache at 12 o'clock, they'll take some more. Because you know what? I can't miss work. That's how I make my living. How you going to make heaven if you're going to miss God and his worship and his commandment? How you going to make heaven? You don't have to make heaven, huh? You just rather go to hell. My brothers, we got to keep telling people the truth. And we can't take excuses from people. We can't coddle people. We can't make them feel okay when they tell us things that are excuses and not godly reasons, not even sound reasons. You got to set your affection on things above. You got to seek the kingdom first. See, when I'm seeking the kingdom first, I'm not trying to get myself involved in everything that come around that in life so that I can be a part of everything. We got parents. They're not bringing their children up in the discipline instructions of the Lord. They're not even teaching them to worship God on Sunday. They done got them involved in soccer and baseball and football and everything. And then the world, they playing these games. They play on Wednesday night. They play on Monday night. They play on Sunday afternoon. They play on Sunday morning. They playing volleyball and everything. And then you at the volleyball game with your child because that's what you're encouraging them in and the worship service is going on. And you want to know why you wasn't there. And when they ask you and when we question you, my daughter had to play a volleyball game this morning, so we didn't worship today. You know what? When Jesus comes to judge the world, he's looking for those who are seeking after him. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, any man who worships God and does his will is acceptable to him. For God seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen, God is seeking true worshipers. God commands you to seek those things which are above. Are you seeking after God? God wants to save you. But do you want to be saved by God? If you do, you need to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind to serve God. Brethren, we got to make up our mind to preach this gospel. We can't excuse people because they don't want to hear it or because they think it's too hard. We got to preach the gospel. And we got to charge men to obey the gospel, not obey me. Everybody want to talk about, I don't like what Brother William said. Do you like what the Bible said? Because Brother William tell you what the Bible said. If you don't like what the Bible said, then say that. Don't say you don't like what Brother William said. Brother William tell you what God said.
Amen.
We got to stay with the Bible, brother. Brother Parker, I'm going to turn it over to you, my brother. Brother Parker? Brother Johnson?
Yeah. I'm here.
I'll turn it over to you. You can pass it on to Brother Parker. I don't know if he's
giving
it out from his phone or what.
Yes. Hello? This is Brother Parker.
Brother Parker, you with us? Yeah.
Yes,
hey, man,
you got the floor.
You got the floor.
Yes,
we just try to keep the brethren enthusiastically committed to seeking after God in our ministry
right. And
in our teaching.
Right. And you're absolutely right, Doc. That's the only way we're going to be able to make it. And in these days now, like what we're going through right now in America, we're in bad shape.
And
we're
going
to have to preach the doctrine of Christ. Literally,
that's
just the straight doctrine of Christ, you know.
Amen.
Everybody. Because right now, we have now become to be worshipers of Satan in America.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what
there's
we are.
There's a lot of that going
of
on.
Our
worshiping
court,
Satan.
Right. Our Supreme Court has made it righteous which is a holistic way to put it, for us,
well,
men marrying men, women, do you not know? Ooh, we are now the new Sodom and Gomorrah. So we could not have anything. Look at all the killings and murders and raping and everything else going on in America now, and all of the foolishness going on in America now. Sin has been cut directly loose, and it's righteous if you want to do whatever you want to do, because
that's his moral code.
One of the Supreme Court guys passed away just recently. You see, God is warning us and letting us know what we got to do. We know 5-4. So 5 of the Supreme Court men, they believed in same-sex marriage, and 4 didn't. And the 5 beat the 4. Now, we've got to fight back right now. And that doctrine of Christ got to be dealt with. All of these sophisticated, no good, you can't find them in the Bible, churches out here now raising billions and millions of dollars. Worldwide. As a man, one of the preachers that's making over $1 million a year, T.D. Jakes, making over $1 million a year. Now, you know it's got to be pathetic and raising millions of dollars for his program there, across the world and preaching him, and he's lying. He's accepting everything and telling people the wrong thing. You know, if he tell God's word, he wouldn't be making near about that kind of money. But God would be blessing him. You can't beat God. I just want to know this one question. What in hell do folk want? They must want everything else on there. The Bible, I read the Bible, it tells me you only thing in hell is going to be some weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, ain't no good time down there. You down there think you got a good time smoking dope, drinking alcohol, raping women, laying with whores and everything else. You just wait till you get to hell. See, heaven is a place where we got to live right here. If you live the righteous life here on earth, you will be blessed, your supreme blessings, the highest you could ever achieve, because all men and all women are different than has ever been created on this earth. God is a God, a masterful God. There's nobody ever been born on this earth that's just like exactly the other person. Even though you might have twins, quintuplets, they got some kind of relationship, but they are totally different when it comes down to God. God has never created two of the same kind of people ever since the earth has been here. And we now have become so intelligent, we think, until we have become a bunch of fools. The Bible says,
man,
the word. Now, why you got to get up there and use all kinds of intellectual terms that do not mean anything that the Bible says? You see, that's to keep doing the people as Satan wants you to do. Keep the people on the road to hell. Let them feel good going to hell as long as they take care of you. As their pastor, their minister, their reverend. I saw a paper years ago I read where they call this guy the most right reverend. Now, how in the ham sandwich you got guts enough to wear a name like that? God is reverend, but now you got a title, the most right reverend. I know he busted hell wide open because I remember when he died. I was preaching in front of Third Ward Church of Christ, in front of the church that he was preaching in, and he died, you know. And that was going to happen for him to go ahead on and die, because he was nothing but the devil. And right now, we got plenty of others out here now. The so-called reverends preaching and carrying on. You mean to tell me you're God? You think that you're God? You are no reverend. You think that you are God. Now, how can you do that with your wicked self leading the people? It's all about the monies and the honeys in these worldly churches. you see that those men have more women up in the church than about 5 or 10 times the women of the wife that they got up in the churches with the money floating everywhere. And his deacons, so-called deacons, they are his followers. They do exactly what he tells them what to do. Oh, Lord have mercy. We've got to start preaching the doctrine of Christ. And preaching it right down the line. Look, even you got some members who you're going to find out if you keep preaching a straight-up gospel on everything, you got some members that ain't going to too much like it, ain't going to try to tell you something that you know, you shouldn't have said that like that. Why? Because you cut them, that's why. We got to learn to get past all of that. I preached it in churches where guys told me and showed me 2 guns. If I get up there again, he's going to bust all these caps on me. I got right up there and kept on preaching the word of God. And you know something? God take care of his own. God will bless you. And then somebody put a baseball bat up in the pulpit. Let them know, don't you worry about it. Because before he can get up there and shoot you or get close to you, we're going to be done something to him. And you got a bat for your own protection, too, in case you got to use it. I'm telling you, and we don't want to use nothing. All we want to do is preach the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Even when you preach the gospel, if folk don't believe in it or nothing else, God moves on them. You know, the Bible teaches us your sins will find you out.
Amen.
You keep on doing all the sin you think you want to do, your sins will find you out. They will let everybody know who you are, what you are, what you did, and what you shouldn't have done, and everything else, and why you're on the way to hell now. I just want to know what in hell. Now, if you listen on this program now, don't put no Z in there. I said, what in hell do you want? I didn't use that street language that they're messing up with. It's what in hell do you? What's down there that you that's so wonderful that you got to live like a hellistic hellion to get down there to it? What's good? What's so good about it? When you see people that take stuff off others and live the right life and suffer through things and everything like that, they're living a glorious life, even though you think you're doing something wrong to them, but your payback day is coming. You keep on fooling with God's people. He's going to pay you back. And if we have the patience and the love in our heart to keep on doing the right thing in the midst of a whole holistic society or where you live in your community and everything, God will bless you. And then those people that were doing all that, that you'd be talked about when you left. You know, they did this, they tried, and you know what happened to so-and-so, so-and-so, and you know what happened to so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Yes, things are going to happen to people that misuse God's people. God takes care of his own. He takes care of it all. And listen, you need the book. Follow the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. That's what it's here for. It's the book of all books. And if you study it and follow the instructions, you'll be good. You know something? Men down here draw maps on how to get from one city, from one state to another state, from one country to another country. They got maps and stuff that they can give you. They can get that good scientific stuff on television and all this kind of stuff. They can put it on the internet and all that, how to get from one place. And people look at that and they get in there and they drive exactly what they said do to get there. Now, if you went another direction, you were not going to get where you're supposed to get because you went a different direction.
Amen.
The Bible gives the instructions on how to lead from earth to heaven. And it tells you what not to do to keep from going to hell. So which one you want? Which one you want? I mean, you come down here and Satan gets you so tricked up and messed up here on the earth that you think that it's all about stuff and things, stuff and things. Oh, man, I hated to do it, but I had to kill him to get that. Oh, man, I hate to do it, but I have to steal this to get that. You're just going to hell in a handbasket. We got to learn that this book is a powerful message from God. And we as ministers were commanded to preach that and nothing else.
Amen.
We have to know that. Listen, it's very important. We're not finished. I'm not finished with this part of it, but I know that we're going to have to leave there. But listen, and see, Satan tried to get me from saying what I'm saying here tonight. I went over to Galveston because I had to go over to my little baby's her first birthday. My son invited us over to my grandbaby's birthday. And then when I got over here, I couldn't even get the station. So I had to get a phone from somewhere else to get on. But God bless me to get a minute or two on here. I certainly appreciate Brother Williams and Brother Johnson. Ooh, these brothers here are full of nothing but biblical scriptures and teaching you exactly what you got to do. Amen?
Man.
And listen, that's the only way you can live the most precious life on earth and then get everlasting life in heaven. That's the only way. And you can't even tell people how good your life was. I've talked to people who are old members of the body of Christ, and they were saying things that I couldn't even believe. I was a young man at that time, and I couldn't understand it, but now I see it. Now I see it. Amen? Let's keep on doing the right thing. Brother Johnson, Brother Williams, y'all have anything else? Brother Parker Forth on?
Just keep the faith, brethren, and stay strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10-18.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to say some more on this subject next week. The Lord said the same. But right now, both Brother Johnson and Williams on. That's Brother Williams. Brother Johnson, you just spoke?
Yeah, I just spoke.
Okay, Brother Williams still on or is he off now?
Brother Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, well, Brother Johnson, if you're there, let's have you give a wonderful closing prayer right now.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Our Father and our God, the greatest God in the universe, as we all approach your throne with thanksgiving on our hearts, Father God, we pray that we will continuously, through your grace and mercy, that we will be able to preach your word to a lost and dying generation. Father God, we're so grateful that you have given us the instruction book that we can go to
and
answer Bible questions and do Bible things in Bible ways. Father God, we love you, we need you, and we desire you in our hearts daily. Please help us, dear God, to be faithful in everything that you have commanded us to do. Father God, we pray for Brother Parker, Brother William, Brother Parker the Fourth, Brother Brown, Brother Robin, all the ministers of the gospel that are standing on your word, Father, even myself, Father. Help us to be faithful to you all the way to the end, Father.
Amen.
Help us to be more steadfast and more unmovable. Help us to fix our heart on thee. When we have quit the walks of life here, Father, we pray and hope that you will have a home set up for us in heaven through eternal life through Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Brother Parker.
Yes, sir.
Good to be on the radio with you, and always a blessing to do the things with you, brother. Hoping that God will keep on blessing you and the wife and your son. And Brother Brown and Brother William and Brother Robin, that we will all one day see each other in glory. Hopefully that we will.
Amen.
You have a good night.
Okay.
Amen.
You have a good night, too, and thanks.